and welcome to Optimal Life. Virginia Collins and Dave Jeffrey with you on the RPH Network. This is a program just for us older ones, round we sort of aim at the years 55 to about 75, perhaps finishing work and thinking of heading into retirement. And doing all the work today, we have Virginia Collins. Virginia, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, and greetings to all the listeners out there, and good to be back.
Hey, welcome to the program. You've only just started with us on this, and lots of great comments. You're doing very well.
I hope to continue.
Now, I don't know whether it's good news or bad news, but you have got the job. And I tell you what, I think it's a job for life. All right, today we're going to be looking at tricks to retiring overseas. And then we're looking at what is arthritis, and we've got some helpful ways to counteract it. And Tai Chi, that wonderful exercise. And something of interest, Virginia, dancing is good for girls, but I don't know whether it's not good for us old blokes, but we didn't get a mention. And one that I know close to your heart, a special for cat lovers. Well, welcome to the program. Now, what have we got first up today, Virginia?
Well, the important thing to start with before we look at retiring overseas, it happens to be the Lunar New Year, and we want to have a look at what favours the bacon.
Most certainly. Year of the pig, isn't it?
The year of the pig. So this is from the Sydney Morning Herald on Friday, February the 1st, 2019, and it's Lunar New Year, Fortune Favours the Bacon. The year of the pig brings prosperity and luck, according to the Chinese zodiac, writes Laura Chung. Lunar New Year, to be celebrated in Sydney throughout February, is a time to wish family and friends luck, prosperity and good fortune for the coming year. With a different animal each year, this is the year of the pig, the last in a cycle of 12 Chinese zodiac signs. It's said to bring wealth and fortune during its year, not just for those born in a year of the pig, with strong prospects for financial and investment successes, along with a good year for friendship. A set of commemorative coins have been released in this spirit, with each design featuring a happy pig, with a Chinese coin depicting Fu, happiness, Lu, wealth, Shu, longevity, and surrounded by lucky hydrangea blooms. While dates and traditions vary across Asian cultures, Sydney's official Lunar New Year was on Tuesday, the 5th of February, but celebrations are being held throughout the month. With them come a host of traditions and superstitions. Here are some key do's and don'ts that many follow. Do. Eat fish and wear red undies. In many countries, Lunar New Year is the time of the year families reunite for a four-day holiday. They eat fish for wisdom, peaches for longevity, plums for a sharp mind, lettuce for good health, and spring onions to bring clarity is also advised. President of the Chinese Heritage Association of Australia, Cheryl Kuminis, says to fill a box with sweetened vegetables or lollies for a sweet year. Jaffas are popular because of their red colour. Married couples are expected to give red envelopes filled with money to younger members of their family. Red is a major good luck colour, says Miss Cummins. Families clean the house and get new clothes before the new year to avoid bad spirits. Senior lecturer in Chinese and Asian Studies at University of New South Wales, Pan Wang, says wearing red underwear is also believed to maximise luck, particularly if born in the year of the pig. And that's 1935, 47, 59, 71, 83, 95, 2007, and, of course, 2019. Also, decorate your house with poems written on red paper to drive away evil spirits. Now, don't buy shoes or wash your hair. Sleeping through the day will lead to a lazy year, said Miss Wang. Also, avoid arguments as the new year is a time for positivity. Don't buy shoes. The Cantonese word for shoes is homophone for rough. and the Mandarin word is a homophone for evil. Miss Cummins explains, and no one wants a rough or evil year. Washing your hair at the start of the new year is said to wash away your luck. Also, getting your hair cut in the first month after celebrations is believed to curse your mother's brothers. Also, talking about death is advised against in the first few days of the new year, as is wearing black or white, the traditional colours of mourning.
Now, that's very interesting. I was born in 1947, so I suppose I've got to go out and buy red underwear this year.
You will.
And do not get your hair cut in the first month or so.
Absolutely not, but your hair is not too long. I think you'll survive.
Excellent, excellent. Virginia, thank you for that. Most interesting. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network.
So, Dave, in the last program, we promised that we would talk about retiring overseas because we had talked about how you could make a bit more money in retirement.
That was exciting.
So this is The Tricks to Retiring Overseas, and it's an article from The Sun Herald on Sunday, August the 19th, 2018.
So very attractive thought, retiring overseas.
It is. And this is written by Barbara Drury. So, the tricks to retiring overseas. Making the break to foreign shores can be a great way to stretch your savings. Cheryl Fankhauser didn't know a soul in her new hometown when she took the plunge and moved to Malaysia. The former Tweed Heads nurse moved to World Heritage-listed Georgetown and 2 years later is part of a friendly community when she can dine on the celebrated Nyonya cuisine at a local restaurant for $2. There's a great expat community here, and they all look after each other, she says. After returning to Australia, after 3 years teaching English in China, Fankhauser, now 65, decided it was time to retire, but the numbers didn't stack up. I had a house, but by the time I paid insurance, tax and rates, I couldn't afford to retire in Tweed Heads, she says. So she rented out her home and investment properties and now lives comfortably off the income in Malaysia. She pays $600 a month rent for her apartment in an upmarket suburb and spends about $1,200 a month all up. She's just returned from 7 weeks in Europe and is already planning a Panama Canal cruise next year. There's no accurate data for the number of Australians who retire overseas. But we do know 82,708 retirees collected the age pension overseas last year. The main destinations were Greece, Italy, New Zealand and Spain. Smaller numbers are seeking a more relaxed lifestyle in Southeast Asia that's easy on the pocket. The cost of living is 50 to 80% lower than Australia and it's just a short flight away from family and friends. International Living Magazine's 2018 Global Retirement Rankings placed Malaysia and Thailand top overall. For cost of living, the winner was Vietnam. For healthcare, Malaysia. Malaysia and Thailand offer special visas for Australian retirees. Excellent healthcare, low tax, and they're pretty safe, friendly, and English is widely spoken. Brett Evans, Managing Director of Atlas Wealth, which specialises in expat finances, says 40% of his clients looking to retire overseas do so because of the high cost of living in Australia. For these clients, Thailand, Cambodia, the Philippines and New Zealand are the top destinations. Others simply say it's their time. They've worked hard, raised a family and now they have more freedom. Financing the big move is not as difficult as you might imagine. The age pension and super pensions are portable, but there are catches. Anyone thinking of retiring overseas needs to plan carefully. If you're eligible for a full or part age pension, you need to be in Australia to lodge a claim unless you live somewhere that has a social security agreement with Australia. For example, Italy has an agreement which means Australians can apply and serve their waiting period in Italy. China does not, so you need to return to Australia to apply and wait 2 years before you can return overseas permanently and continue receiving payments. The rate of pension paid to people living overseas is based on the number of years they worked in Australia from age 16 out of 35. Say you worked for 20 years, you would receive 20/35 of the basic rate. Super is agnostic about where you live, but some countries tax withdrawals. This is generally not the case in Asia, but developed countries may have wealth or inheritance taxes or social security levies, so do your homework. Evans says some super funds refuse to pay pension incomes overseas and insist you leave the fund. Insurance can also be an issue. If you have insurance in your super fund, in the majority of cases, it's no longer valid once you retire overseas, he says. If you have a self-managed super fund, SMSF, management and control needs to reside in Australia to be eligible for tax concessions. Before retiring overseas, seek advice to see whether it would be best to wind up the fund, roll over to an industry or retail fund, or appoint a personal representative in Australia as trustee. Otherwise, you could end up paying tax of 47% on pension income as well as on assets in the fund. So, looking after your health, unless you move to a country with a well-developed public health system, you'll need health insurance and premiums can be high. This could be a deal-breaker because you can't just nip back to Australia for free treatment. After 5 years living overseas, you're no longer eligible for Medicare unless you move back permanently and reapply. Evans says some people plan to relocate for 10 years or so in early retirement to travel and have their time of their lives, then return to Australia for better healthcare and social services. Fankhauser has no intention of returning. She has private health cover, but says the public system is also excellent. Healthcare in Malaysia is world-class. Aged care is not well-developed, but it's cheap to bring in a 24-hour carer. And that was The Tricks to Retiring Overseas from the Sun Herald, Sunday, August the 19th, 2018, by Barbara Drury.
Virginia, thank you very much for that. That is most interesting. So you just cannot go overseas and say, right, I'm going to retire here.
No, it looks like you really have to do your homework.
Yeah. And I was interested there. It said that medical don't go across too. You've got to
not
wait
everywhere.
A couple of years. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you very much. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network.
So, Dave, in that last article, medical was one of the issues. And so we've found another article on medicine or
excellent
health.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently one in six Australians has arthritis, and that does include me. So that's 3.9 million people. So
that's a lot, isn't it?
It
yes,
is
I'm starting to get a little bit myself.
Yes, well, you don't want to get any more. So I went in search of some information, and there's a really useful website, arthritisaustralia.com.au. And today I thought I'd read one piece from the article that just gives a bit of information about what is arthritis. This sheet gives a general description of arthritis. It may be helpful if you are unsure if you have arthritis. It provides general information about how arthritis is diagnosed and what you can do to manage it. It also tells you where you can find more information. And it is from Arthritis Australia, arthritisaustralia.com.au. So, what does arthritis mean? Arthritis is a name for a group of conditions affecting the joints. These conditions cause damage to the joints, usually resulting in pain and stiffness. Arthritis can affect many different parts of the joint and nearly every joint in the body. Is rheumatism different to arthritis? Not really. Rheumatism is just a more general word that was used in the past. It described any pain in your bones, muscles, and joints. We know more about problems with bones, muscles, and joints, so we use words like back pain, tendonitis, and arthritis to describe these conditions now. Are there different types of arthritis? There are over 100 forms of arthritis. Each type of arthritis affects you and your joints in different ways. Some forms of arthritis can also involve other parts of the body, such as the eyes. The most common forms of arthritis are osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, gout, and ankylosing spondylitis. Who gets arthritis? Anyone can get arthritis, including children and young people. In Australia, 1 in 6 people have arthritis. Many people think arthritis is a normal part of getting older. This is not true. In fact, 2 out of every 3 people with arthritis are between 15 and 60 years old. Arthritis can affect people from all backgrounds, ages, and lifestyles. What are the symptoms? Arthritis affects people in different ways, but the most common symptoms are pain, stiffness or reduced movement of a joint, swelling in a joint, redness and warmth in a joint, general symptoms such as tiredness, weight loss, or feeling unwell. Is my sore joint arthritis? There are many different reasons why your joints may be sore. Not all pain in muscles and joints is caused by arthritis. It could be from an injury or using your joints and muscles in an unusual way. For example, playing a new sport or lifting heavy boxes. Talk to your doctor if you have pain and stiffness that starts for no clear reason, lasts for more than a few days, comes on with swelling, redness, and warmth of your joints. How can I find out if I have arthritis? See your doctor as soon as possible if you have symptoms of arthritis. Your doctor will ask you about your symptoms and examine your joints. They may do some tests or x-rays, but these can be normal in the early stages of arthritis. It may take several visits before your doctor can tell what type of arthritis you have. This is because some types of arthritis can be hard to diagnose in the early stages. Your doctor may also send you to a rheumatologist, a doctor who specialises in arthritis, for more tests. Can arthritis be cured? Currently, there is no cure for most forms of arthritis. While there are treatments that can effectively control symptoms, you should be wary of any product or treatment that claim to cure arthritis. What can I do? The good news is that there are many simple things you can do to live well with arthritis. Find out what type of arthritis is affecting you and learn about your treatment options. Stay active. Keep your joints moving and your muscles strong. Learn ways to manage pain. There are many things you can do to help you cope with pain. Manage tiredness. Learn to balance rest and your normal activities. Keep to a healthy weight. There's no diet that can cure arthritis, but a well-balanced diet is best for your general health. Look after and protect your joints. Find out about equipment and gadgets that can make tasks easier. Acknowledge your feelings and seek support. As there is currently no cure for arthritis, it's natural to feel scared, frustrated, sad, and sometimes angry. Be aware of these feelings and get help if they start affecting your daily life. Contact your local arthritis office for more information sheets on arthritis. And this is from the Arthritis Australia. Contact number is 1800 011 041. That's 1800 011 041, and from www.arthritisaustralia.com.au.
Well, what an interesting article there, Virginia, and it can make you feel frustrated, angry,
etc. But yes. I have some good news now.
Aha, let's hear it.
Okay, so this is from the Sunday Telly on Sunday, the 27th of January, from the Body and Soul section. The amount an elderly woman's need for assistance with daily activity, such as walking, eating, bathing or dressing, decreases by if she takes up dancing, is 73%.
So what about us old fellas? It's not going to, dancing's not going to do us much.
I don't know. We have to have a partner to dance with. So it's thought the activity helps to bolster balance, strength, endurance, concentration and memory. And you old fellows need that too. And that's from the Scandinavian Journal of Medicine and Science in Sports.
You're listening to the RPH Network.
And here's another article that points us arthritis sufferers in the right direction towards some exercise. Tai Chi works wonders. Instructor Margaret Dean and Joan Wright. This is an article that's been posted, reposted by Master Aaron Kaur on the Australian Academy of Tai Chi website. The gentle Eastern art of Tai Chi appeals to people of all ages and stages. An ancient form of Chinese meditation is increasingly being used to combat a host of injuries and illnesses common to Western society. With age expectancy now approaching 80, Tai Chi is popular as it targets age-related health issues and also assists in the rehabilitation of cancer patients, stress and depression. Margaret Dean says the increase in numbers comes down to a greater awareness in Western science of the Eastern sport and the fact that more people now want to age gracefully. The 69-year-old has been practicing Tai Chi for 18 years and teaching for more than 16 years at the Australian Academy of Tai Chi in Wollongong. From the age of 45, Dean suffered from such severe arthritis she could not move her hands. After 5 years of arthritic medication and changes to her diet, she began classes in Tai Chi. Only at this time did the swelling start to go down. Now I can almost make a complete fist. Fellow instructor Joan Wright also faced the problem of swelling and a lack of movability after several months of chemotherapy for breast cancer. The harsh treatment brought on lymphedema, an inflammation of body tissue which makes it difficult to perform basic daily activities. Wright says more than 10 years ago she was dragged along to the unknown Eastern art by a friend. After some time I can now move my arm across my breast, Wright says. That's because this form of soft martial arts consists of a series of slow, controlled movements which builds muscle strength while increasing blood flow and flexibility. Participants are taught to focus on the flow of the exercises from one position to the next, instilling a greater awareness of the body. This builds a sense of security, providing improvement in balance, posture, and general self-care. Dean saw much benefits firsthand when a client joined her class after suffering a minor stroke. After 2 years of Tai Chi, her balance was restored and her bone density increased by 7%, she says. But Wright believes the appeal of Tai Chi is not only because of its physical benefits, but its ability to tackle psychological illness. After going through the cancer, it was easy to become depressed, but this sort of gentle activity kept me active and positive, Wright says. No matter what condition clients come with, each individual works within their comfort level. Most of all, people keep coming back because they enjoy it, Wright says. And that's an article reposted by Master Aaron Kaur on the Australian Academy of Tai Chi.
Virginia, thanks very much for that. Most interesting. Now, we're going for strength to strength in this program, Optimal Life, and we have a sponsor which you're going to tell us all about for Your Voice, Your Rights.
Yes, it's Seniors Rights Service, and that's www.seniorsrightsservice.org.au, and the telephone number is 1800 424 0 79 for free and confidential advice with legal advocacy and education. That's Seniors Rights Service, our wonderful sponsor. So we now have a word of advice with Gerald Quigley from the House of Wellness. The benefits of horse chestnut are many. Hot weather brings many challenges. Hot and heavy legs, tired legs accompanied by fluid retention, and lower leg irritation are common ones. Horse chestnut is a herb that contains tritopine saponis, which are useful in protecting and reinforcing the walls of blood vessels. This, in turn, reduces the leakage of fluid that we see as edema. Stronger vein walls in the larger blood vessels in our lower legs contribute to more efficient circulation and less pooling of fluid. This herb enjoys a long history in the treatment of varicose veins and hemorrhoids by reducing the number and size of the small pores of the capillary walls. It has venotonic properties. These benefits don't happen overnight. Be patient and improvement will occur. It's also evident that the earlier you start taking horse chestnut, the better the results. The strengthening properties of this outstanding herb will also play a role in reducing the hemorrhoids and bruising. Interestingly, it also has a role to play in cosmetics. When applied, horse chestnut preparations are useful in reinforcing small blood vessels in the face and around the eyes. So, if fragile capillaries and easy bruising are an issue, this is the herb for you. What benefits can we feel? Quite simply, fatigue, the aching, discomfort, feelings of heaviness or pain will be less. This issue seems to be more common in women than in men, with summer the more obvious time of the year. And that was from the House of Wellness by Gerald Quigley.
Virginia, thanks so much. What an interesting article. Can that really get the red veins out of my face?
Well, it's worth a try. And alternatively, you can always buy makeup to cover.
Well, I think it was. Someone told me it's due to red wine, but I don't think that'd be true.
No, of course not.
Not at all.
Never.
Virginia Collins, thank you very much. It's time for us to go, and we're going to hear from you in a couple of weeks' time.
It's been a great pleasure yet again. Thank you very much, Dave, and see you again in a fortnight.
I'll certainly look forward to it. You've been listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Thank you very much for being with us, and as Virginia said, we look forward to your company again soon. Bye now.